Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Morning, Haley.
Good morning, Dr. Looper. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been thinking a lot about how to get healthy. Right now I have a 10-year-old son, and I have two exchange students living with me and my wife. And so I get to see humanity in the raw. And what I've noticed is my boy, God bless him, has instincts.
Yes.
Human instincts that let him know what are the best things to eat and what are the best things to do. Mm-hmm. And what his instincts tell him is that sugar is absolutely the best thing that you can eat.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Sweetness, yeah. Calories galore.
He also likes salt. Yeah, but sugar is mostly what it is. Simple carbs. He likes rice. He likes noodles. That sauce stuff is dodgy. He doesn't want to really mess with any kind of sauce or any kind of vegetable or anything, and gets in the way of the blood, the sugars from the food flooding into his system.
Right.
And again, it's an interesting instinct. Actually, let me say a little bit about the two exchange students, two girls we have. One of them is more mature, and she's striving to eat healthy and exercise. Though she's still up against these human instincts, right? Like all of us are.
Right.
And the other one is just like, I like sugar. She made brownies recently, and she didn't, you know, adulterate them at all with anything like nuts or stuff like that. These are just basic sugar and chocolate and flour mixed together. And Patrick, his comment was they're the best brownies he's ever had. He thought these are just absolutely fabulous.
Oh.
And they were for a kid's palate.
Sure.
Okay. So, in addition to this, I've noticed that the best use of one's time is to play video games when you're 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have an instinct, again, to engage, at least the boys do, have an instinct to engage and fight and kill and whatever, you know, slaughter aliens or zombies.
Yeah, I think it's just being busy. It's keeping the mind busy because my 8-year-old girl is just on video games like your 10-year-old boy.
There's more similar than there are different.
Yeah, and I think it's just the busyness of the game occupying their mind. They don't want that rest period in their mind.
I think it's more than that. You're right. But I think there's a specific kind of their brain is rewarding them for them thinking in certain ways and solving problems in certain ways,
mm-hmm.
and killing things in certain
mm-hmm.
ways and doing things in certain ways. And these are, you know, skills that when we were cavemen were necessary to survive. And so you get an opportunity to engage those caveman skills with this video game in a way that's safe and warm and you're inside the house, but it feeds your brain. Your brain thinks this is the right thing to do. We're out there striving and conquering.
Right.
And so this, you did good. And you get that rush of like, wow, I'm fabulous, right? I saved the princess! Right?
Right, yeah.
And also, I found this thing, it's fabulous!
Yep.
It's full of sugar and fat and salt, this is great! Wah! And you get this feeling that's like, you did good!
Mm-hmm.
You were excellent! You're an excellent human, you found good stuff! Now, when we were cavemen, this was good! This was actually helpful! If you could find stuff that was like this, you were living high, right?
Right.
And if you could do things and you win, you're doing fabulous. So it's sensible. And it really turned out to be a great system. We were better people for following our instincts.
Yeah.
Except for that's not the case anymore.
We collected the food. We got the berries. We got the nuts. We got the animal. We were able to feed our families. And
so here's the thing. Why don't we just follow our instincts? I mean, they work for our ancestors. Why don't we just kind of do what our instincts tell us to do and just be happy instead of suffering?
Because our instincts will get us into trouble these days. The things that we have in our food systems aren't what we had in past experience.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I prefer to say it in a more direct way. If we follow our instincts, we break.
Yeah, we get diseases. We get heart failure. We get diabetes. We get cancer.
We break.
Yeah.
We break. We break in many and various ways. So I'm trying to think, in our practice here, who shows up?
And broken.
Yeah, broken people. Mm-hmm. People who are broken are like, wow, I broke.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a shock, especially when it's early on, because when you're a kid, you just eat whatever, and you do whatever, and you're fine, and you don't get sick, for most kids. And they just run around and be kids, right? Their parents somehow get them to eat vegetables enough to fill in the gaps so they don't, you know, they don't break, they don't get pellagra or some kind of, like, you know, vitamin disease. And so there are, you know, they manage to get through until they get to be older, typically in their, I don't know, late 20s, 30s, 40s, somewhere around there, and then they break.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, if they're following their straight instincts, and their instincts really haven't involved no, you know, vegetables or stuff like that, they'll break earlier. Or they don't do exercise, they'll break earlier. And then later, if they do some stuff that just happens, their instincts guide them towards a more healthy lifestyle. But if you follow your instincts alone, in our modern society, eventually you break.
Mm-hmm.
You just do. You break. Your body can't do what it's designed to do because it doesn't have the materials to do it. So how do people break? And I'm really thinking, like, who walks in the door? Now, I'm not really a guy that works on, you know, joint problems that much. I'm not a chiropractor. I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I'm not somebody who really specializes in joint diseases, arthritis, those kinds of things. And in spite of that, I'd say one of the number one things that come through the door is joint problems.
Well, I think that also comes with age, too. And it goes kind of hand in hand with a lot of the other diseases that we do see. So
yeah, so age is a thing, though.
You think,
oh, yeah, I'm getting older. This is what happens. You think, nah, wrong. What happens is something wasn't right, and then time passed, and it came to its fullness.
Yeah, it got worse and worse.
So the time is part of this thing. But it's not because you're getting old. It's because something broke.
And it wasn't fixed?
It wasn't discovered.
So
it wasn't addressed. So here's the thing. I'm looking at my son eating brownies.
Yes.
And living well. Like, God, this is great.
Yes.
I love this. He knows he is exactly
having his
best life.
Yes.
Doing these brownies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, why would I want to get in the way? He should just be able to eat brownies, have a great life, be happy. No, but I know that eventually this is going to catch up with him, that you can't run the human machinery on brownies.
Yes.
You're going to have to eat a carrot now and again.
Yes.
Right?
Some greens. Some protein. Make those brownies protein brownies.
Turns out the brownies with nuts are healthier than the brownies without nuts, but not for him.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts get in the way. You don't want no nuts.
No.
Who wants nuts?
Yeah. So, going back to what we see in the practice here, we do see a lot of joint pain coming in, and that's because something broke and wasn't fixed.
Yeah, so here's what we should do. I want to do a series of conversations about how things break, you know, because what's the entry point? Let me go slower on this one. Entry point. Here's the thing. If you just follow your instincts, and you're happy, go lucky, and everything's great until it breaks.
Right.
And then when things break, you got an opportunity to make a change
mm-hmm.
for the better.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. That's what that is. What's happening is reality has reared its ugly head and forced its, you know, its presence upon you. Like, bah, I was fine. You know, things were great. And now this thing broke, right? I'm unlucky. No. Now, you're not unlucky. Stuff was happening all along. This was set up for a long time ago. This is just coming to its fruition. This is called reality. Reality is in your face now. Okay, now, so this is an opportunity for you to get reality better than you ever did before. So you could figure out a way to get better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people don't want to do this. They don't want to face reality. You know what they want? They want to take a pill so they can keep doing what they're doing, take a pill, and they feel better. And they make those pills.
And they do, yeah.
They're called Advil.
Advil. Oh,
or whatever. There's a zillion of them,
yeah.
Right? All kinds of stuff. And what? Better again. No, you're not.
Right.
You're just putting a Band-Aid on your problem. What you're really doing is you're breaking down.
Yeah.
Still.
And causing yourself more liver damage with...
Yeah, more stuff happening, you know, all kinds of stuff. So anyways, you do have an opportunity to get life in a better way, in a deeper way. And so it's not that you necessarily take up on the opportunity. Lots of people don't. But lots of people do. And the people listening here, see, I'm hoping that they're the ones really thinking, I'd like to do better. Is there some way I could get a better handle on this? The answer is yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Take it as an opportunity. So the thing is, when you break, number one, you're motivated. I mean, before it'd be like, yeah, it'd be nice. I don't know, I'm probably thinking about doing something to get healthier. Nah, now I'm broken.
You're uncomfortable.
I gotta do it.
You want to function.
I can't live like this. Yeah. Like that. This is the rest of my life, right? It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest you do, don't just settle in, well, you know, people get old, things break. No, not of that. Don't do that. That's a cop-out. The better thing to do is say, what happened and how do I fix it? How do I get at the cause, the root cause of this thing? And then use that as a motivator. So that's what this is. This breakdown here is an entry point into becoming a better version of yourself, to setting up a system that you live by that results in you being happy and healthy and living for a long time. This is worth doing. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you a sense of purpose. When you're taking care of yourself, you're instilled with a sense of purpose.
Yeah, purpose is one way to say it. I'd also say a sense of power, because once you understand how things work, you're like, I could fix this. I could fix this. This is the thing I could fix. I can actually fix it. So let's talk about, you know, we can pick anything. Just whatever random thing people come in with and use as an example. Again, we could pick anything. I could think of a zillion things to do, but here's what we should do. Why don't we just pick, you know, arthritis, because it's probably one of the more common ones it starts with, and then we talk about how to fix it.
Yeah, and I think arthritis is a symptom of so many other actual root causes that also cause other symptoms. So just getting to the root cause of what arthritis is.
Yeah, so again, it's an entry point to a new way of life. You're right.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the arthritis. It's going to be the heart disease and the dementia and the diabetes and the colitis
system.
And all the other stuff that's coming down the line too.
Yeah.
Because it's not just going to be that one thing. It's not like you just get arthritis only. No, it's a cascade of breakdown.
So is that like the first kind of flag in the cascade?
A lot of times. Not always. I'm not saying it's like a permanent thing. You always start with arthritis. You don't. It could be a zillion different things. But it's common.
Yeah.
Real common.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common. I mean, people, you know, they make their whole careers based on helping people get with the arthritis thing, right?
So
with
can you give us like a very just broad definition of arthritis and what the symptomology is?
Yeah. So with arthritis, you get joint pain is what you get.
Uh-huh.
And so it can start in your hands, it can start in your hips, or your elbows, or your knees, or your whatever joint in your body.
And is it like stiffness, or is it aching? Does it not,
yes.
You don't have mobility?
Yes, all of those things. It depends on how far along it is. Usually it starts off as pain, aching pain, kind of a deep aching pain, where it hurts. You're doing this thing, and then you're walking, and then your knee starts to hurt, or your hip starts to hurt, and you kind of get this like, something's not right. So
and it comes and goes.
Comes and goes.
Usually so it's not a constant.
Usually not a constant. Now, if you fall down and whack your knee and then your knee hurts, well, now you know why it hurts because you whacked it. But this is usually happens for no good reason. Maybe you did something. You were, you know, doing some kind of thing at the park with the kids, and then now you've got this thing with your arm. Ow, it hurts, right? There's often some sort of trigger, but the trigger is just the straw that broke the camel's back. It was all set up beforehand. There was a thing going on that was causing your joints to break down, and then you did something that pushed it over the top. And so, yes, pain. Pain is how it starts off with. And pain is highly motivating, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so how a joint works is you got bone that's against bone, and then they move, right? Except for where they move, that creates friction and damage, and it breaks down, and you can't just have bone on bone. It just doesn't work. You know, it's a poor system. So nature has created this system of, you know, bumpers where the end of the bone bumps up against the other end of the bone. And the surface between them is a good shock absorber.
Mm-hmm.
It's super slippery, so there's very little friction. It's tough. One of the toughest tissues we have is that little bit of tissue between the bones.
Yep.
Okay? It's called cartilage.
Yes.
And so cartilage is usually where the problem is.
Is it the deterioration of cartilage?
Yes. Okay. Exactly what it is. So most people think that cartilage is, you know, you rub on it and eventually it wears out. And that's where the arthritis comes from. That's not actually how it works. If the cartilage is set up right and maintained right, it's self-maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
It will rebuild itself. So people who are sedentary tend to have worse cartilage than people who are active.
Wait.
I'll say that again. Runners,
yes,
have some of the best cartilage on the planet.
Because it regenerates and rebuilds itself?
Yeah.
The more you use it.
The exercise is what stimulates that regeneration.
Yeah, what stimulates the cells to go in and...
More than that. This is interesting, so bear with me on this one. Our body runs by materials being brought in by blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, proteins and fats and minerals and whatever. All the stuff that our body needs to do its thing, to rebuild or make or whatever, comes in through blood. And then all the waste product, you know, old things wear out and your body takes them apart and then pitches them, goes back in the blood, and then your kidneys pee them out or somehow or other, gets out of your system. And so this all happens via blood. Blood is absolutely necessary for all the rebuilding, all the mechanisms of life depend on blood, right? Except not cartilage. There is no blood for cartilage at all, none. Because if you run a blood vessel through cartilage, you just put in this little hollow tube in this part of your body where it's going to take a lot of stress and force. My little boy, go back to my little boy, we have this jump box. He'll jump from the ground up onto this big box and then jump from the box down. Not only that, but his game he's playing, he gets on the stairs and he goes as high as he can and he jumps 4, 5, or 7 stairs down to the floor just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he had a blood vessel in his cartilage, it would go bang and crack right where that blood vessel is. This is a bad idea.
Right.
Structurally,
yes.
This is a bad idea. You should have no hollow tubes in your cartilage. And so there isn't. None of them. So how does the cartilage possibly rebuild? The way it does it is you have to take the cartilage and you have to squeeze it and then suck. It's a pump. You squeeze and suck, squeeze and suck, squeeze and suck. And so the fluid around the joint has nutrients in it and oxygen and stuff like that. And so it bathes the cartilage and some of it gets pulled in and some of it gets pushed out. And some of it gets pulled in and some gets pushed out as a squeezing thing. Uh-huh. That's how it works. It works based on squeezing. There's another name for that squeezing. Can you think of it?
Exercise.
Yes. That is correct.
Always the answer.
That is, again.
Again.
This is exercise. So exercise is required for the maintenance of these tissues.
Yes.
If you take these tissues and you, like, artificially stabilize them, like put a cast on, right, like an animal, then the cartilage breaks down. The fastest way to cause arthritis is to quit moving your joint.
Mm-hmm.
Because then what happens is the cells don't get enough oxygen because they require that pumping. And so things can't get into the cartilage. And so the whole thing doesn't work. The system breaks down. Huh? So we need...
So never stop moving.
Well, never. I mean, not for a long period of time, right?
Right.
Not for a week.
Right.
Now, really, let's say you get sick and you're laying in bed for a week. What happens? Your cartilage starts breaking down. Let's say you go to space and you're like in space, right? Doing space stuff. What happens?
Your cartilage breaks down. Yeah, you get weak. Your muscles deteriorate.
The doctors know that. The spacemen know that. That's why they have to get on these machines and run, and they're doing their exercise for 6 hours a day in space. And even with that, they still break down. They come down. They come back weaker from being in space.
So are there any supplements you can take?
There are, actually. There are. So the cartilage itself is interesting because it's basically designed to hold water in place. It turns out that water is a fabulous material to have at the ends of bones, because water is super tough. You can't break it. It's super slippery. It's a good shock absorber. Everything that you want cartilage to do, water is the thing. Except for that one little problem, which is when you squish it, it goes flying. So that won't work. So somehow you have to hold it into place. So cartilage is made up of proteins that really act as a sponge, and they hold the water in place. And that's the purpose of all those proteins. If you can get the water holding qualities improved, what you'll do is you'll thicken the cartilage up. Now, let me go back and say another thing. Cartilage is full of water, and if you take cartilage and you just press it, press it. With steady pressure, you can slowly squeeze the water out of the cartilage. Right. We do this every day. It's called sleeping, because we're not moving much when we sleep, and there's a certain amount of tension, just as, you know, ligaments and muscles, the tendons kind of hold us together. There's a certain elasticity that we have that pushes the cartilage flatter. And so when you wake up in the morning, your cartilage runs about 50% of what it was when you were, walking around, pumping more water into it. So when you wake up, a lot of times you wake up, you know, a little stiff. You have to, you know, kind of be careful about what you do in the first 5 minutes. You walk around a little bit, kind of loosen up a little bit, your cartilage pumps, and it'll pump back up to full thickness in about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why it's really important to do a warm-up in the morning, is to get your cartilage to get warmed back up again. Now, how this works is the cartilage has this system of proteins. Let me describe it like this. There's a main protein that attaches the bone and goes up through the cartilage and wraps across the top. It's called collagen. It's super tough. Our body's got a lot of collagen in it. This is a type of collagen that goes in the cartilage. Now, branched off the collagen in every direction, like octopus arms, all kind of, you know, folded in amongst each other, is chondroitin. It's a big molecule. It's not really easily absorbed. Collagen, by the way, collagen. You can take collagen. They sell it as gelatin. Gelatin is collagen.
Gelatin?
Yeah, gelatin.
What about the collagen peptides that...
So you can do that too. You can buy collagen. You could get it as
How effective is it?
Not very. Slightly.
Slightly?
Slightly.
Everybody takes it, and all over social media, they have it, you know, posted.
Now, according to the research...
Yes.
Also, according to my experience,
yes.
I've had lots of people take them, and they're like, "Man, you know, you take them. They're relatively cheap because, you know, they're a byproduct of, you know, the meat industry, because collagen's in animals, and so it's not that hard to get it. You can get collagen from cows or pigs or sheep.
Is
or whatever.
It more effective to get it in your whole food than it is in the supplement version?
It's not particularly effective to treat arthritis because the molecule's too big. What you have to do, your body has to break it down, pull in the broken down pieces, and then reconstitute them into this thing. Now, you can do that. It's helpful. It does actually help, but it takes a really, really long time. It doesn't really do much. So if you got arthritis and you start taking collagen, the chance you're going to get better is low.
Would it be more beneficial to do bone broth instead of collagen?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, bone broth's got other stuff in it. As a nutrient, it's nutrient-rich. Bone broth is a fabulous thing. I highly recommend bone broth, but it's not for the collagen.
Okay.
You know, collagen is okay too. I mean, it's, you know, our body has a lot of collagen in it, and we have to make a lot of collagen. So if we get those building blocks of collagen, we got to get them from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if we get them already come in the collagen form, then it's easier for us to make collagen because they're already kind of hooked together the right way. No, but this is not, here's the thing. The experience I'm looking for as a doctor is somebody comes in, I say, "Oh, you got a thing. So let's do this thing." And then they come back a few weeks later and I say, "How you feel?" "I feel great." That's it.
And so
that's what I want.
Yeah. And so when they come in and they're like, "Oh, I feel like I'm starting to show signs of arthritis," then you tell them, "Okay, get moving. Movement is going to rebuild that collagen."
But that's hard though, because I hurt.
Yeah.
When I move, I hurt.
So how do they take that little baby step to get moving in the right direction?
So you're on the right track. Take stuff, but not collagen.
Okay.
So the problem with collagen, the molecule is too big.
So take things that take away the pain.
No. Let's fix the problem for sure. It's just, let's get something that works better than collagen.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go through the list. It's not a long list. So it's collagen. We just talked about that one. Chondroitin. Collagen's a tree trunk.
Uh-huh.
Chondroitin's branches.
Okay.
Okay, and branches are smaller. So you can absorb chondroitin better than you can collagen.
Chondroitin, is that...
It is a protein, is what it is. Okay. It goes into collagen. You can take it. It comes in pills form. They have it at Costco. Okay. I mean, they have it all over. They have it at Fred Meyer. They have it... It's a common thing. Usually it's mixed with MSM, maybe collagen. You know, a lot of times they'll put all these things together, which is a good idea. But here's the thing about chondroitin. Meh, it doesn't work that good. Again, it's too big. The molecule's too big. Our body's not good at pulling in big hunking molecules. It's better pulling in little molecules.
Little bits.
Because it got to go through the cracks, right? They got to get sucked up by the cells and put out the other side. And so big hunking things don't tend to get absorbed very well. So it's mediocre in terms of its ability to help. Now, on the branches, there are twigs. Those are much smaller. That's called glucosamine. Glucosamine can be absorbed much better than the chondroitin, and glucosamine actually works. That is a thing that you can take, and it will work. You will feel better for it. But, here's the but. The whole process of rebuilding this collagen thing, I mean not collagen, the cartilage thing, is slow. There's no blood vessels. Because there's no way to get stuff in and out fast.
Yeah.
The only way you do is you got to do the squeeze and pump thing, which hurts. So this is a problematic system. But if you move some, right, at least a little, and you know, you got to walk to the bathroom into the kitchen, so you get moving some movement. And then you're also taking the stuff that it gets soaked up into the cartilage, because your body knows exactly what to do with this. When you absorb it, it goes right to your cartilage. They've radio tagged it. You know, because they could track it in people's bodies, and then they watch it go right to the joints.
Okay.
Because body knows, he says, ooh, this thing goes in the joints.
Yeah,
and so
let's
it
put this here.
Sticks it in there. Now, this whole system of tree trunk, branches, and twigs is all to hold water in place. Because the twigs, if you look at them under electron microscope, they don't look like twigs. They look like bottle brushes.
Oh.
You know, like a bottle brush with stuff going.
The bristles.
Bristles everywhere.
Yeah.
All the way around, solid bottle brush. Bottle brushes on octopus arms.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what, when you look, that's what it looks like. And so inside the little cracks of all the little bottle brushes, there's a charge, an electronic charge there that holds water in place. The water's got a little bit of a charge to it, and so it settles in and gets locked into place, more or less. Not permanently locked, but locked more than it would be otherwise. Now, even with this whole system of holding water in place, it still doesn't work that well. What you need to do to the water is gel it. Literally turn it like gelatin. The proteins are glycoaminoglycans, these big $10 doctor words of stuff. They're proteins that branch. They're basically like jello is what it is. So jello gets incorporated into this protein matrix. It's kind of like if you took a kitchen sponge, which has got the protein matrix, and soaked it in Jell-O, you get something that's actually amazingly hard.
Yeah, it's
because it's firm from the Jell-O, but and the Jell-O by itself it just comes apart. But the sponge holds it together.
Sure.
So now take that, times it by 50, and you have cartilage. Amazing material, super amazing. Holds water in place. It's got a good spring to it. It wears, you know, fabulously. It's super slippery. I mean, this stuff was like a miracle of organic engineering.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So now we got another entry point on how to fix the cartilage, because the gelling agent works the fastest. So this whole system runs slow. So how long it takes for glucosamine, remember that works the best of all the proteins, to help is 6 weeks. Now, if you take an aspirin, your pain will decrease, right?
Yes.
And so you compare the pain-decreasing effect of an aspirin to the pain-decreasing effect of glucosamine. At first, glucosamine does nothing. Aspirin's way better. But as you take the glucosamine longer and longer, the pain gets less and less and less, to where at 6 weeks, the pain goes down more with the glucosamine group, and the aspirin group continues to be about the same.
Oh.
Aspirin doesn't cure anything.
No.
It decreases the pain, but nothing gets better. Whereas the glucosamine doesn't get rid of the pain at all the first week. But the second week, a little bit comes down. After that, a little bit more comes down. And gradually, 6 weeks. That's a month and a half, by the way.
Yes.
You imagine you taking something for a month and a half before it starts really working as well as an aspirin?
Yeah,
you're
going to
quit.
Yeah,
you're going to think, what the heck am I taking this for?
Not be convinced. Right.
Somebody has to tell you, no, this is super slow.
Okay.
Now, better than that, though, is MSM. MSM stands for methylsulfonylmethane, and it's goo. It's basically powdered goo.
Yes.
And what it does, it gets absorbed in our body. Our body takes it, strings it together, and makes this goo, this gelling effect. And MSM works way faster than glucosamine.
How
for
fast?
MSM to kick in, it's about 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay. And then we have that in capsule form or in powder form.
Yeah. Either way.
Either way.
You know, it's a super bland.
Bitter.
No, it's bitter, but in terms of how its effect on you, it's hard to overdose on it. It's safe.
Yeah.
It's about as toxic as water. It doesn't taste good. It's bitter.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like to take pills.
Right.
I prefer doing it as a powder. It's cheaper. It's super cheap, super easy to take.
Does the powder get absorbed quicker than the capsules?
Nah, not really. They're about the same. So it doesn't really matter. So most everybody else is going to do a pill. I hate pills. I'm sorry. I have a prejudice against pills, but that's me. I'd rather do powders.
Well, Dr. Looper, that is all the time we have today. Thank you, Dr. Looper.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.